God. Praise God. Thank you. Give yourself a hand clap. Praise God. You know, I'm excited. About what God is doing and what He's going to do in the year 2016 for each and every one of our lives. And I just thank God for my brother coming here. I met him at CC's birthday party, and I just thank you. Thank you for taking your time out to come be with us today. Amen. We honor you for that. And we, of course, we love our daughter, Minister Baldwin. Praise God. So we thank God. He's precious, and not only in the Lord's sight, but in our sight. Amen. Praise God. So each and every one of you are precious. And I just thank God for each and every one of you. You know, it's exciting for me to be a pastor because I love people. I love people. And I really didn't even know that Minister Baldwin was going to be speaking at the church. In fact, we weren't here last Sunday. But God always has a ram in the bush. Amen. So Junior did an awesome job bringing forth the word, and it was wisdom, it was insight, and he operated by the Spirit of God. And I've listened to that message probably about 3 or 4 times. It's on the website. You can listen to it as often as you want. But I've listened to it. Every time I listen to it, I get more. I get more revelation. But that's how the word is. And us preachers, that happens to us. When somebody's ministering, God has given us 3 or 4 messages. Praise God. But that's good because, you know, you're in tune with the Spirit of God. So God is able to always talk to you. We're going to deviate a little bit. For the last 4 Sundays, we were on friends, the importance of friends. And they are very important. Amen. They're important. In fact, we're a friend of God. God calls us friends. Jesus said that we're His friends. So how isn't it better to be a friend of somebody rather than their servant? You know, so now in the Old Testament, they were the servants of God, but now He calls His friend. In fact, He started with Abraham in the Old Testament. And then God spoke with Abraham, you know, and Moses face to face. And they were friends of God. So it's important to be friends, but I want to get deviated a little bit today. We're going to talk about understanding. Understanding. Now, I didn't know that Uncle Reese or Junior were going to start with Psalms 1, but it's right in line with what God gave me to say today. And so, if you want a title, it's just the importance of understanding. The Bible says that Hosea 4:6, if you'll pull it up, and most of you can quote it, Hosea 4:6, says, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And Dee's going to pull it up. But what happens is, it's not, people aren't destroyed because they don't have provisions, they don't have relationships, they don't have this, they don't have other. All those things are important, but they're destroyed because they just don't have the wisdom and know how to apply it. Now, guess what? A lot of times, wisdom is good, but you know what? Knowledge is good, but you know what's more important than just having knowledge? Wisdom. You know what wisdom is? Wisdom is the ability to apply the knowledge that you got. You know, you go to school, right? You go to school. You know, I go to work. Now, guess what? I get critiqued on whether I really know what they've taught me in the IRS because they monitor my calls. And if I do something that's in violation with the IRM, IRM is just the Internal Revenue Manual, and then they will listen to it, and they will monitor that and put that in that monitoring, that feedback that I get. So if I deviate from the IRM, I'll get feedback and correction. And that's good, isn't it? That's good, because just because you know something does not mean that you are actually applying it in your life. So guess what? I'm a student of the Word. I always read Scripture. Always read the Bible. And I read for understanding. I read for spiritual elevation. But the most important thing, you can know the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. But if you're not applying it to your life, is that doing you any good? They're doing you any good. So we're going to talk about understanding. Understanding. What is understanding and how do you get it? Well, if you go to Book of Proverbs, throughout the Book of Proverbs, in fact, let's go, before we go there, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. So God is said, telling them in the Old Testament, he said, look, because you forgot me and you forgot my word and you did your own thing, I'm going to forget you. So is God being mean or cruel? No. God has our best interest at heart. When he gives us laws to follow and his word to follow, he knows more. How many realize, I raised both my hands. God is smarter than me, amen? So if when I follow his instructions, I know that his plans are for me are to bring me good, to bring me to accept it in. So if I follow his instructions, I know it's going to do me good, amen? You know, the medicine may taste horrible, but you know the medicine going to do you some good. You know, my grandmother, when it got winter time, and one of us, and it was seven children in our family, and we'd go to grandma's in Virginia or Norfolk, Virginia, and one of us starts sniffling or coughing or something, you know what she'd do? She'd line us all up. She'd get us some castoreum. Y'all young folks ain't heard of that. She'd give us a dose of castoreum, and then she would give us some castor oil. And I tell you what, that stuff was so nasty, but it would work you out. It would work you out. Anything that was wrong in your body, it would work it out. And it would go off in a draw, okay? So guess what? When one person got a symptom of being a sickness trying to attack their body, grandma would line all seven of us up, and we'd stand in line. We all had to take our medicine. But praise God. It didn't taste good, but we knew it was going to do us some good, amen? And it was horrible. It was horrible. It tastes horrible. You young people, y'all probably don't know about castor oil, do you? Y'all probably don't know about castor oil, do you? But if you took it, it would work you out and everything would come out. I mean, if you had a tapeworm, the tapeworm would come out, okay? If you had a cold would come out. Whatever you had, that castor oil would get it out. And it was horrible. It's like drinking oil. Yeah, that's what it was, oil. It tastes horrible. Cooking oil, like drinking cooking oil. And the castor was even worse than that. It was horrible. It was black and it was just horrible. But anyway, it did us good. Amen. So sometimes you got to take your medicine. Amen. You know, just like God says, He says, my word, you know, it's the most important thing in your life. With all thy getting, get understanding. So we're going to talk about from, Proverbs about what understanding is and how do we get it? How do we get it? So Proverbs, we're going to go to Proverbs 3 and 5. Proverbs 3 and 5. Now, you know what? God loves us so much. He said, I'll make my word so simple that even a fool won't hear in the way thereof. So in other words, God's word is so simple that if you're not getting it, it's just because you don't want to get it. Okay? It's so simple. I'm gonna tell you something. If you don't understand it, that ain't God. If you need the Pope, three priests, and a baby to break it down to you, it ain't God. The word of God is simple, amen. But it says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to thy own understanding. Now guess what? Psalms 1, when Maurice read that, it's really what's happening in the world today. Everybody's doing their own thing. Everybody's being friends of the world. Now, that doesn't mean that we hate the people in the world. No, we don't hate the people in the world. We're the salt and light. But we can't get in bed with the devil in the world just so that they can be our friends. There's got to be a separation between light and darkness. I'll tell you what. Let's pretend this was midnight. All the lights were turned on. It would be total darkness in this room with the blinds and everything closed. You know what it takes to dispel darkness? Just one little phone with a flashlight on. Boom! All of a sudden, the darkness is gone. So we're the light. The world needs us. Amen. We're supposed to love the world, but we're not supposed to go and be friends of the world that they can't even separate us from children of the light. So we're supposed to love them, but we're not supposed to get into their sin just so they can be our friends. Amen. We see mamas today raising up daughters, and they'll take their daughters, make their daughters their friend, the teenage daughters their friends, and they'll go to the club with their daughters. And they'll hang out with them, and they'll do it. But guess what? That's foolishness. That's foolishness. As a child of God, we wouldn't do anything like that, right? We don't want to lower our standards and to bring people to the Lord. Because guess what? You know what's really going to draw people to the Lord? They see that the power of God resides on the inside of us. That's what's going to attract them. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. Amen? So when we were just like the world and there's no difference, there's no drawing card. There's no drawing card. They need to see the power of God demonstrated through our lives. Amen? So guess what? We can't do everything the world does. And we got to have understanding. So if we lean to our own understanding, you know what the world says? If it feels good, do it. There's no right and wrong. Well, God loves everybody, so you know I can stay in my sin and God's still going to love me. Yeah, God still loves you, but he hates his sin. It's a stench in his nostrils. So guess what? God would have to violate his word to allow us to stay in our sin and be able to stand in his presence. He'd have to violate his word. And he's not going to do that. He's a holy God, amen? So we got to get understanding. We got to get understanding. And it says, keep going, D. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not into thy own understanding. All thy ways, acknowledge him. So all our ways? All our ways. Okay. D, I love God. You love God? I love God. Yeah. Let me hush. But anyway, I love God, right? So I'm a Christian. But see, I need about $100,000 to fulfill the vision, to go to the next step of the vision that God's given us for the church. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to go downtown on Moncrief and them, and I'm going to get with Bubba, the drug dealer, and I'm going to invest the church money to Bubba so he can buy some drugs, and then he can pay us back tenfold. Okay, praise God. Amen. You know, I mean, I'm trying to, that's how the world does it, right? They find somebody that's connected, then they make a connection to them, and then they prosper, right? But wait, now that sounds stupid, doesn't it? It's foolish, isn't it? Now, I would never do that. But that's how people, sometimes Christians do, they marry up with the world, and they think that's their ticket. That's not their ticket. God is our provider, amen? God is our provider, and everything we need, amen? Everything we need. If it don't come from God, I don't want it. You know why? Because I'm not going to be able to keep it. I'm not going to be able to keep it. If God didn't give it to you, if the devil gave it to you, he can take it away. In fact, you know what the devil going to do? You're going to get on there and play in the devil's field, playing field, and guess what? Devil will embarrass you. He'll snatch the rug up from under you, and then all of a sudden, everybody will see you'll be exposed. You'll be exposed. So I don't even want to play with the devil. Amen? I let him know, look, I'm God's property. Hands off. I belong to Jesus Christ. Amen. So guess what? I'm going to acknowledge God in all my ways and he shall direct my path. Well, you know what? at my job, you know, they're hiring. And so, Beverly just turned her application in, you know, so I turned my application in. So I feel that we're down to the last two candidates, me and Beverly. So I love God, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go and talk to the hiring official and say, well, you know, Beverly, she did such and such and such and such, such, and I think I'm the best candidate. Now, is that the love of God? Is that the love? No. What it is, God, promotions don't come from the east, they don't come from the west, but they come from the Lord, right? So if God don't promote me, I'm not going to be able to keep it. If I fought, lied, kicked and scratched and backstabbed to get a promotion, I'm going to have to fight to keep it. And guess what? It's gone. It's gone. But guess what? Not only that, when I go lie on Beverly just so I can get that promotion, guess what? God's going to be the vindicator and the lifter of her head. I'm not going to get promoted. And guess what? Unless she pray for me, something horrible is going to happen to me. I'm messing with his anointing. Amen? Lying on his anointing. Amen? Just so I can do things the way the world does. Amen? But no, I'm not going to get in the world system. I don't belong to the world system. I belong to the kingdom of God. Amen. You know, so it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. So guess what? There's a lot of different voices in the world. But can I give you a clue on how you can tell, what the voice of God is? Because a lot of people say, God doesn't speak to me. I can't hear the voice of God. Well, guess what? If you never cleaned the earwax out of your ears since you was a baby, guess what? You probably couldn't hear me. Every now and then you gotta get a washcloth and clean the earwax out of your ears so you can hear. Well, guess what? God's ear is not stopped up. His hands ain't too short that he can't save you. He can't deliver you. But guess what? In Isaiah, he says that your sin has separated me from you. He say, in fact, a lot of times we'll pray, and it's like our prayers are bouncing off, wanting to go past the ceiling, bouncing off the ceiling. They're not reaching God. Does that mean God's deaf? No, God's not deaf. But guess what? Our sins have separated ourselves from God. So what happens is, when we hear the voice of God and we don't obey it, then God has to say, okay, I love you, but I can only bless you to a certain degree. The destiny that I have for you, it'll never come to fruition because you're operating in sin. And so what happens is, we gotta get our hands clean. Amen. So what happened is we can't operate like the world does. So we gotta get understanding, right? We gotta get understanding. Now, I told Cecilia 34 years ago that I love her. I stood in front of the preacher, Elder Mays, in Augusta, Georgia, in chapel number 3, Yassi on Fort Gordon, and stood before the preacher and before God and all the witnesses there, said I would love and honor and cherish her to death do us part. But nothing changed. I made a vow to God and before all everybody that could see us before heaven. Some days, can I be real? Some days, I don't automatically wake up and think I love her like with the same passion that I loved her before. But guess what? I'm not going by my feelings. I'm going by a decision that I made 34 years ago to love and honor her, to cherish her to death do us part. Now guess what? True love is not an emotion. It's not a feeling. It's a decision. God made a decision while we were yet sinners to send his son Jesus to die that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. So God made the decision, even when we didn't even deserve it. God made a decision to do that. So guess what? I choose to love, and love is a decision. It's not an emotion. Emotions come and emotions go. Emotions come and emotions go. Feelings come and feelings go. I'm not moved by my feelings. I'm moved by what the Word of God says. Amen. Let's take a little deviation. We're going to get back to Proverbs. Let's take a little deviation. Let's go to John, book of John, St. John 8th chapter, I believe, around about the 28th, maybe about the 30th verse. Let's park at the 30th verse. St. John 8 and 32. Yeah, 8 John 30, 32. Now, the thing is, I told Cecilia that I love her, right? But you know, Valentine's Day is coming up next Sunday, isn't it? And we're really going to be blessed because we're going to have Sister Beverly bring the word on Valentine's Day. Praise God. And, but you know, Valentine's Day is traditionally, that's when, the world, gives their girlfriend, their wives, or their significant other, whatever, presents and stuff like that, saying that I love you and I cherish you and all that kind of stuff, right? But the thing is, Valentine's Day is coming up. Guess what? What if I did not bring Cecilia some flowers? I know she likes flowers. So I know if I give her flowers on Valentine's Day and a card and just say, baby, I love you. I cherish you. You're so sweet. You're so precious. You're my good thing. You know, and I just tell her all that stuff. Then she's going to say, oh, okay, thank you. You know what? And that affirms the fact that I love her. Now, men, we don't need to be all of that. We don't need all of that. We figure that, why does it take all that? You know, I told you I loved you 34 years ago. You forgot? But you think like that, you'll be out in the doghouse sleeping, you know, by yourself. But so you gotta use a little wisdom, amen. You gotta tell women are wired that way, where they gotta be affirmed. Say, baby, you love you. You're beautiful. You know, you might got a couple of curves more than we had before, but I still love you. Every inch of you, every pound of you, praise God. I just love you. And just look at us. When we got married, I used to have I used to have an afro, and I was in the military, and I used to get that Duke's pomade grease, and I would pack it down and put a stock cap on it, and then I would be able to put my cap on, my army cap, and I would wear that all week. But guess what? Friday night, I blow that thing out, and I hit the clothes. But, you know, but right now, even though I had all that hair back in the day, guess what? Every day I look in the mirror and I comb it, it looks like a little less hair is up there. But she still loves me, amen? So I thank God it's not based on me looking like we did when we got married, amen? Because if it was based on that, she probably would have left me a long time ago, amen? But thank God for grace. Thank God for love and compassion that's not based on the outward appearance, but based on a quality decision that she made 34 years ago that she was going to love me and honor me and cherish me. And so we both made that vow. So it's not based on the outward appearance, but based on the decision that we make. And thank God, you know, I want to be in shape and everything. I want her to be attracted to me and stuff. So you got to do things. You know, there's a worldly song. He said, I'm not going to say that. But anyway, I'll say this. What it took to get her, it's going to take to keep her. I'm not going to say the worldly song, but I mean, there's wisdom in that. In other words, you chase after her. I remember when before we got married, I used to get off work. I was in the army. I used to get off work and I would call her to see and I would talk. We talked for hours. And then on the way home, I would call her, talk. And then when I got back home, and then we'd talk and call and just talk all day. And then it's time to go to bed, right? And then she'd call me. Well, I'm getting ready to go to bed. And then we talk. We talked for about 3 or 4 hours, you know, after that. And then finally, I mean, it seemed like we just couldn't get enough of being together around each other. And she had a truck, and she would drive her truck on base. And I didn't know this until later, but she doesn't like to fish. I used to love to fish. So she would drive her truck on base, and I'd say, well, I'm going fishing. She'd say, okay, I'm going with you. And she would drive her base down to the pond, and we'd be fishing. And, of course, she would hold the pole a little bit, and then I'd catch the fish. I had to do everything for her. So, you know. So anyway, make a long story short, I said, man, she's the total package. Beautiful, witty, charming, and loved to fish. So guess what? I didn't realize that after we got married, a couple of years later, we was in Massachusetts. I said, baby, let's go fish. She said, well, really, I don't really want to go fishing. I said, well, you don't like to fish? She said, well, really, not really. So what she did, she said, I'll come with you if you want me to. So she took a book with her. She'd read her book, and I'd be fishing. And then finally, when I found out she really didn't want to fish, I said, okay, well, you just stay home, read your book, and I'll go fishing. But I thought God, I had an angel from heaven that loved to fish, you know. But anyway, she wanted to spend time with me. So she knew if she could be fishing with me, then we'd spend time together. But you know, but you see what you do? But guess what? You still need to do the same. Okay, just because you're married don't mean that you stop doing. You got to pursue each other. Amen. And I like to chase around. And sometimes she goes slow enough so I can catch her, you know. I don't move as fast as I used to. But but praise God. So anyway, so what if you say you love somebody, you got to show it. That's all that's what I said. All of it said you got to show it. If we say we love God, then we got to show God. Okay. Now it says, okay, you should know the truth, and the truth should make you free. Read the 33rd verse of that too. Go to the next one. Oh no, let's go to the 28th, John 28. I think I'm trying to do this from memory. John 28. Okay, 29. Go to 29. Okay, and he said, and he that sent me is with me, and the Father has not left me alone, for I always do the things that please him. Verse 30. And he spake those words, and many believed on him. So what happens is, if we really love God, we're going to do the things that please God. Now Jesus said, to many disciples that believed on him, he said, if you continue in my word, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed. So continuance means uninterrupted existence. So if you, in order to prove to God that you got, that you really love him, you got to be willing to spend time with him. You got to be willing to get in his word. And the interest of God's word brings light, doesn't it? It brings understanding to the simple, doesn't it? So what, when we get in the word of God, then we know we have direction for our life. Oh, I hadn't forgot. Three voices. There's three voices. Your voice, your human spirit, your voice, the devil's voice, and the voice of God. Let me make it easy for you to distinguish. Let's knock out the devil's voice. If there's anything that doesn't line up with Philippians 4 and 8, that's not the voice of God. That's the voice of the devil. Somebody just did something ugly to you and hurt you, talked about you behind your back and everything. Now, guess what? Whose voice is this? You ought to give up. He's in your mind. Yeah. Who, is that God's voice or the devil's voice? That's the devil's voice. So we know the devil's voice, okay? If it doesn't edify, build somebody up, encourage them, that's not the voice of God. So that we automatically know that's the devil's voice. You know what? When somebody does me wrong and the devil tells me to vindicate myself, And give them a piece of my mind and everything like that. Lay my religion on the line and give them a piece of my mind. You know what I do? I do the opposite. I bless them. I buy them lunch. I give them something that they don't deserve because Jesus gave me, all of us, something that we don't deserve. Our salvation when we were yet sinners. And guess what? And I say, devil, you keep messing with me, talking to me. Guess what? I'm going to keep blessing them. So devil leaves me for a season. Because he said, this boy just foolish enough, he ain't even going to follow me. So we eliminated the voice of the devil, amen? If it doesn't edify and build somebody up, that's the voice of the devil. Then there's your voice. Then there's the voice of God. Now guess what? The devil is a defeated foe. The devil's demons, they cannot hear what's in your mind and what's in your heart. They don't know that. So if you hear something that says, go to Walmart, and the devil can't hear that. It came in your spirit. It's deep down in your spirit. You know, the real you is not here. The real you that God speaks to is deep down here in your spirit. The seed of man is right here in the spirit. Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. So that's the real you, right? That's the real you. And so what happens is, and then you hear something, And you know it didn't come from your natural ability because you didn't know that. But something is telling you, go to Walmart and you get a picture of somebody. And you may not even know that person. And you say, okay. And then you say, okay, well, what aisle did I need to go to? Now the devil don't even know what you're talking about because he didn't hear that. It didn't come from him. So you be obedient. You go to Walmart. And then when you get there, that person that you saw a picture of, you'll see that person. You know that's God leading you. And then God, the Holy Spirit has prepared that person's heart to receive the word of encouragement that you have for them, and you can minister to them and they'll receive it. But guess what? That's operating through the word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. And so God gives every believer the ability to do that. So you can hear the voice of God. The voice of God is not a 21 gun salute. It's a still small voice. And when the more you obey the voice of God, the more you'll get in tune and you'll get more revelation. Because guess what? A lot of times it takes an element of faith to obey the voice of God because it doesn't sound natural. It doesn't sound normal. It doesn't sound like it's common sense. But when you step out in faith and obey the voice of God, then he'll give you more. It's just like a lot of times when we're ministering. I know Minister Baldwin and all of us, Minister Beverly, Pastor Cece, all of us, when we stand before God's people, things come to our mind that we couldn't even think of. And sometimes they're so bold that we don't even want to say them. But by faith, we speak it. And guess what? It blesses the people that are there. It blesses the people there. I have a message today on understanding, but guess what? As I get downloads from God, I'm just speaking what God tells me to say. And see, I know that the people's needs will be met, including my needs will be met, when I obey God. Amen? So guess what? So it's important to get understanding. But anyway, so what? Those are the three voices. And how can you, distinguish the voice of God? Because it'll be something that edifies somebody up, that build them up, and then it'll bless somebody. And then you'll be blessed by because you followed it. But you know what? God doesn't give more to people that are disobedient and don't do anything what he gives them. You know, the church in America, we're so fat and so full of the word. And then guess what? Well, I can't go out and do nothing for the Lord because I need more word. I need more study. No, you're fat, you're dumb, and because you won't do what God tell you to do, but you just want more word. Well, guess what? We're supposed to go and do. We got enough word. We got operate on the last decision, that last word that he gave you, and then he'll give you more. He'll give you more. But he's not going to give you more if you don't do nothing with what he gave you. Remember the parable of the talents? There was one wicked servant that took the talent that his Lord had given him and buried it in the ground. Then there was one with two, and then one with five. The one with two and five, they increased it. They increased it double. And then when the Lord came back and gave an account of all his, for stewardship, all of his servants, the one that buried it in the ground, he called him a wicked servant. He called him a wicked servant, and the one talent that he gave it to the one that had ten. So in the kingdom of God, God's not going to give you more. God's not even going to heal you or do anything or deliver you or anything. If all you want to be delivered so you can sit in the easy chair and watch 10 more episodes of I Love Lucy. Now, I Love Lucy is a good show. I laugh when I see it. But I mean, what about the lost people in your neighborhood, on your job, or in your community that are going to hell? You're healed and saved and made whole so you can make others whole. Amen? Not just so you can sit in your easy chair and just say, well, God, heal me, praise God, I'm whole. No, you're made whole so you can make somebody else whole. So, you know, hell is a real place. People are going to hell. We need to be concerned about people that are going to hell. We need to have the boldness to share the love of God with them. You know, there's going to be some people that are in hell, and they're rightly so. We're going to stand in shame before God because we were God's mouthpiece, and we didn't tell them about Jesus. And they died and went to hell. And they're going to tell God, that person that said he or she was a Christian, they didn't tell me about you. And their blood is going to be on our hands. So we need to have the heart of God. We need to have the heart of God. We need to have his understanding. God gives us increase. He makes us whole so that we can make other people whole. Amen? Praise God. So, you know, we got the goods. We got the goods, and God loves us. But what happens is, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And Jesus even said it another way. He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things I say? Because if I was your Lord, you would obey me. If I was your Lord, you would obey me. You know, and Jesus was the friend of sinners. But he didn't go to the club with them and fornicate with them just so he can be their friend. You know, he didn't smoke reefer with them so he can be their friend. I don't know what they had back then, but you know what I'm saying. He didn't take drugs with them just so he can be their friend. But what he did, it was a different. Guess what? Jesus loved the sinner. But guess what? The sinner always respected Jesus. They respected Jesus and they wept. They bowed down at his feet and wept. They saw their unworthiness, but they saw the Jesus for who he was, the Son of God. So sinners did not give Jesus a hard time. You know who gave Jesus the most trouble in his ministry? Was it sinners or was it religious folks? Church folks. Can I be real? You're going to be hurt more in the church than you are in the world. The world gonna party with you. They gonna pat you on the back. Oh, yo, child, you my girl. You know? No, but guess what? Church folks are gonna hurt you. They're gonna hurt you. You're gonna loan them money. And I think I said this before. Do not give your light bill money to good old church folks or anybody, because you need that. JA is not going to say, well, Sister Beverly, you were so nice and so loving that you gave your last to Bishop Mays and everything. So we're going to just cancel your light bill for the next year. No, that ain't going to happen. When they don't get that light bill at that point of time, you're going to be sitting in the dark. And guess what? You're not even going to be able to flush your toilet in Jacksonville. They turn the water and the lights on. I know. I'm not going to get in there. So they got you between a rock and a hard place. So if you give money to a Christian or anybody else, give it not expecting it back. If they get it back, praise God. Guess what? If they say they need a loan and they don't get it, give it in a point in time, you know what you do? You go quick and find them. I release you. The IOU is tore up. You don't owe me nothing. Praise the Lord. It's just a gift. Guess what? Your relationship has changed now, right? You're no longer their lender. You're no longer their lender. Now you're their brother or their sister. So I've learned this. And guess what? Church folks are going to hurt you. They're going to tell you they're going to be with you, just like Jesus. Jesus said, if they did me like that, what do you think they're going to do to you? Hosanna, Hosanna. Next day, crucify. Church folks now. Religious folks. I'm not talking about real people that love Jesus, okay? But church folks, wolves in sheep clothing, they're sitting in the pew right next to you and declare that they love Jesus just as much as you do. But they will stab you in the back, abandon you, and leave you hanging. Guess what? We got to forgive them. We got to forgive them. I don't care what you do to me. It's not important enough to stop my relationship with God. Amen? My faith will not work if walking in unforgiveness. You know, most people in mental hospitals and in the hospitals, in the mental wards, you know what 95% of they lose their mind is a snap. You know what 95% of it is? Unforgiveness. Some people hurt them. Some people did them wrong, molested them, did all kind of stuff, never messed them up. And then all their minds snap. But guess what? Unforgiveness. If you walk in unforgiveness for somebody that looks like you in the image of God, and you hold them in unforgiveness, guess what? You're not even a candidate for forgiveness yourself. And I remember you, daughter, what you gave us that testimony about what you did in school. You forgave the girl. And see, that took the heart of God to do that. That took the heart of God. But guess who won? Shanti. She won. She came out ahead. She took the high road. She took the high road. So we got to understand. We got to understand. And we got to understand and think how God thinks. Okay, let's go back to Proverbs. And this time we're going to go to Proverbs 2 and 11. Proverbs 2 and 11. And we're still talking about understanding. The Bible says, with all that getting, get understanding. And wisdom is the principal thing, but guess what? So, if you go to church and the word is so deep, everybody's, swinging from the chandeliers, and we say, ooh, we had church. Okay, well, what did the pastor preach on? I don't know, but it was good. Hallelujah. Well, guess what? You've been bamboozled, okay? You ain't got nothing that you can sink your teeth into. The enemy is coming for the word's sake. The enemy's come for the word's sake. The parable of the sower. Guess what? When you get up on the word and you make a discarded sin, you're going to get in the word and you're going to obey God. Guess what? The enemy's not going to wait until the word get established in your heart. He's going to come immediately for the word's sake. So you make yourself a target. But guess what? So you might as well get something out of this. Amen? Because the enemy's coming for the word's sake. He don't want the word to be established in your heart. So persecution comes for the word's sake. Praise God. But guess what? Greater is he that is in you, in me, than he's in the world. So devil, bring it on. Guess what? I don't live by natural food. I live by the word of God. So I'm going to say just like Jesus did when he was tempted of the devil. It is written. And that's how I overcome, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. So we're going to overcome by knowing the word and applying the word to every situation. Amen. There was a guy, I wasn't even a deacon or nothing, and I was just a saved brother. And there was a minister in the church that basically did something, made merchandise out of me, and make a long story short, it almost made me, if I wasn't grounded in the word, it made me want to leave the church, you know. But thank God I wasn't following that minister, I was following Jesus, amen. But I saw him later on in life, maybe about 5 or 6 years ago, and then I saw him when I was visiting my parents in Columbus, Georgia. And Cecilia had the common sense and the love of God in her to tell me, you need to drop that. You need to let that go. And I said, no, he's a man like I am. He owes me an explanation why he did me like that. And he's a man like me. I forget about me being a minister now, but I want him, he owes me an explanation. She said, let it go. Let it drop. And I knew she was right. I didn't want to do it. But you know what? I forgave the brother. I didn't even bring it up no more. Thank God for my wife. You know, and deep down inside, the Holy Spirit telling me the same thing. But this brother it did me ugly, and I wanted the payback. Okay, or at least tell me why you did it. I mean, you did me and then left town and act like nothing's wrong? Oh no. But anyway, I let it go. So I thank God for her. I thank God for peace of God that came back when I did it. But I didn't even know that I had an issue with the brother until he showed up in my hometown. And we would, he got stationed at Fort Benning. And we were just in the mall shopping, and then all of a sudden his wife was there, and they just hugged us and everything, and he hugged like nothing happened. And I'm looking at this brother, cross-eyed. He said, brother, you wounded me. You lied to me. You took my money. But anyway, make a long story short, by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit, and my wife, I forgave him. And my relationship with the Lord was restored. Amen. So thank God that we did meet, because I didn't know I was harboring no feelings against that brother. But I thank God my heart was clean again. So, praise God. So, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. So understanding shall keep thee. Now what understanding comes from knowing the will of God. In Psalms 1, remember when we read that earlier today? Blessed is he that stands in the seat, that doesn't stand in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his word does he meditate day and night, both day and night. Meditate day and night, day and night. You know what you give yourself to? That's what you're gonna want more and more. You give somebody some crack, I heard. The crack dealer will give the first couple of hits of crack to free. You know why? Because he know you gonna come back for some more. It's so addictive, they say, that it gives you such a rush that you want to come back. So he's not doing you a favor, the drug dealer, by giving you some free hits of crack. He know you're gonna come back. And you're gonna sell your mama, you're gonna sell your daddy, you're gonna sell everybody, even yourself, to get some more of that crack. So the thing is, what you give yourself to, you want more of it. Sometimes I don't even feel like getting in the Word. But guess what? When I get in the Word, the more I want to get in the Word. You know, it was 3 o'clock Friday morning before I went to bed. I was in the Word preparing for this message. I was in the Word, and I told Cecilia the only reason I went to bed is I didn't want my schedule messed up. But I did not want to go to bed. I wanted to stay in the Word till daylight. Because I wouldn't finish. Lord was speaking to me and I was getting revelation, and I say, wow, this is awesome. I did not want to go to bed. I did not want to go to bed. Now, first, I was saying, well, I guess I better read the word. And really, I wanted to just lay in that chair. I'd eaten something and go to sleep. And once I eat, get in that chair and lean it back, guess what? Not many minutes hence. I'm meditating before the Lord. I didn't say meditating. I'm meditating before the Lord. I'm sleeping before the Lord. So my flesh didn't want to do it. But anyway, as I got in the Word, I wanted it even more and more. I wanted the Word even more and more. And that's what it happens. Our capacity to receive from the Lord is infinite. But how much of the Lord do we want? So what happens is, the more we want of God, the more He'll give to us. Amen? Now the disciples, they didn't go to the church of Humma, 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 the Sanhedrin and all of that other stuff. But they said, these are ignorant and unlearned men. But yet, they ministered under the power and anointing of God. Surely they've been with Jesus. Wouldn't you want that testimony? I want that testimony that people could know that when I come out of my prayer closet, I ain't got to say nothing. I ain't got to get these 20-pound Bible and put it under my arm, and I ain't got to get this 5-pound cross and put it around my neck for people to know I'm a Christian. Amen. When I come out, they look in my eyes. They see the fire of God. Amen. Amen. So when you, and that's why we should be. If people have to vote on whether we're a Christian, maybe we may not be a disciple of Jesus. Amen. We may have known him sometime, but we left our first love. Amen. Praise God. So let's go to Proverbs 4 and 5. Proverbs 4 and 5. It says, get wisdom and get understanding. Forget it not, neither incline from the words of my mouth. The words of whose mouth? God's mouth. So it says we're supposed to get wisdom and understanding and then forget it not. Now what happens is, wisdom is so important. It's so important that we get wisdom. In fact, Solomon had a night vision, a night dream with the Lord, God. And God asked him, what do you want? What do you want? And he didn't say, well, Lord, that I may go before my enemies and all of them be destroyed, that I'll be the richest man on earth. No, he said, Lord, give me wisdom to how to lead your people, to lead your people. And God was so impressed with that request that he said, not only that, well, I'm going to give you that, but I'm going to make you the wisest man that ever lived. I'm going to give you wisdom. I'm going to give you wisdom, but I'm going to make you the richest man that's ever lived. There's never, Bill Gates didn't have Solomon's type money. He's the richest man on the planet. So when you desire wisdom, God will supernaturally drop wisdom into you. But guess what? You have a part to play. You gotta eat that role. It's bitter when it comes down. But it'll be sweet to your belly. So guess what? Just like he told the prophet. So he said, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither incline from thy words of my mouth. And we're going to go to Proverbs 9 and 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So you want to know how to get understanding? You know how? You got to fear God. You know why? You know why in the school system nowadays, the kids, I'm talking about kids now. I ain't talking about grown folks. The children still in school, even in high school, they can get in front of the teacher's house face and want to cuss the teacher out and tell the teacher what they going to do and what they not going to do, because there's no fear of God in the school system. When they took prayer out, and they took all that other stuff out, prayer and all that, scripture memorization, everything. Now they want to know, I wonder how come Johnny, little Johnny can't read. I wonder why little Johnny don't respect the teacher, because there's no restraint. There's no restraint. There's no right and wrong. There's no right and wrong. Whatever you feel like doing it, do it. No, that's not what the Bible says. So when you take God out of school where God's not even welcome in the school system, you got nothing but chaos. You got to have a fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom. When you fear God, You know what? It's certain things that people will not do when they have the fear of God. They will not cross that line. But now you look at the 6 o'clock news now, and you see churches have been broken in by thieves. They have no regard for God, themselves, or the Lord. They'll go rob a church and break into it. You never heard that happen in 20 or 30 years ago. Now, thieves have no regard for the pastor, for the church, for God. And so we're really in the last days, aren't we? We're really living in the last days. But what happened? Fear of God will promote you. The fear of God will promote you. I wasn't always a Christian, but I say this. My parents, I don't know if they read it in the Bible or not, but they were following scriptural principle. They believed in sparing not the rod and spoiling the child. They put the fear of God in me, even if they didn't say it was God. I'm going to tell you something. I got enough whoopings. I didn't look like one of them. But I thank God for every whooping that I got. Because it kept me from doing something stupid. It kept me from doing something foolish. And when I got saved, guess what? I came back home and told my parents, my daddy, you know what he did? He's listening on the line right now with his caregiver, Carol. And also my mother-in-law, my father-in-law may be listening on the line, and my twin sister, Maria. You're there, you know, we welcome you to also. But the thing is, my dad, when I came back home and told him when I was saved, he started going to church with me every day. I was on leave. He went to church with me every day. And we got into the Word of God, and guess what? Scriptures were rolling out of his mouth like water. I found that he was saved as a child. He was saved as a child. His Aunt Sarah took him to church. Church of God in Christ took him to church. And he was filled with the Spirit of God, and he was saved. But through circumstance, he had walked away and stuff. But he used to sing gospel every Saturday morning and stuff. But he never really told us that he was saved, and he never took us to church. But guess what? When I told him that, and he started going to church with me, and I found out that he was actually saved himself and everything. So he supported me. He supported me. When I first got saved, a lot of the people that I thought were my friends, they turned their back on me. But guess what? They were doing me a favor. They were doing me a favor because I couldn't hang out with them no more. In fact, I loved them so much, Chris, I would corner them. You need to get saved! And they see me coming, and their eyes would get big, and they want to run. But I was so bold and wanted them to have what I had. I cornered them. And force Jesus down their throat, okay? Some of it worked, but some of it didn't. But God knew my heart. God knew my heart. No, I didn't have any fear. I was just as hard for Jesus as I was for the devil when I was in the world. I was bold about living for the devil, so praise God. How come I can't be bold for living for God, amen? God bless my ignorant heart, my ignorant head rather, not my heart. God took with some wisdom in it, understanding, and I learned. Maybe you need to pray for that the Holy Spirit talk to him first before you beat him over the head with a 10-time bell. Praise God. Well, praise God. Now it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Now, we're gonna continue on this subject on understanding, because understanding is so important. It's critical to us as believers. Amen. And so what happened when we get understanding and wisdom, in fact, we never want to go our own way. We want to get our operating marching orders from the Lord. Amen. And then when we hear clearly from God, clear in voice, then we want to go out and obey it. And so understanding is so important. It's so important. But it's like I said, wisdom is so important. And so, but when you do what the Word of God says, let's go back to Psalms 1. When you do what the Word of God says, you'll be blessed. And you know what? Guess what? I got enemies today. Guess what? Everyone that names the name of the Lord has enemies. But guess what? Do you know your enemies are there so you can get promoted? You know what? God says he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. But guess what? God keeps our enemies alive so they can see that we're being blessed. He could kill our enemies, but no, he keeps them alive so they can gnash and grit their teeth and wave their fists at God because we're being blessed. Amen. So that's how God is. It's a setup. Your enemy is a setup. David would never have been king if it wasn't a Goliath. Your enemies are there to promote you. So thank God for your enemy. That's why Jesus said, pray for your enemies. Pray for your enemy. Your enemy is not your enemy. They're bound by spirits that hate God, but that flesh and blood is not your enemy. They're a potential brother and sister in the Lord. So you just love on them and pray them into the kingdom, amen. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. You know how you stand in the way of sinners? Well, D, I'm a Christian. I can't associate with you. I'm a Christian. Got my nose all up in the air. Well, guess what? I'm standing in the way of sinners. Now, D wants to know Jesus. But I'm a Christian, but I ain't got time to talk about Jesus with him. Because he got dirty hands, okay? So I can't talk with him. I can't fellowship with him. But praise God. So we're going to continue. We're going to continue this later next Sunday. Understanding. It's so important that we get understanding. Amen. Because when we get understanding, we'll have wisdom beyond our own natural years. And people, we'll have more wisdom than our instructors. Amen. When we get with God and get his mind.